Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday brings you a new story. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
The Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Don't mess with my Melania. She's my favorite first lady ever. So I know Greg just blew me a kiss. But we'll get into Melania, that whole controversy, and why, of course, they need to apologize to her. Don't mess with my Melania. Hey, you. Glad to have you here. It is Friday. There's a lot going on. We'll get into everything with Trump, the trade wars. That's what they're calling it. Tariffs, the economy. Steve Witkoff, where is he? Trump's Middle East envoy visiting an aid distribution site in Gaza. And the New York Times writing to see the hunger crisis firsthand. But as far as peace in the Middle East, we'll be talking about that, or at least giving you some of those updates. We'll get into this whole report with Hillary Rodham Clinton, sneaky lion Hillary Rodham Clinton. And, you know, we'll bring forth Philadelphia. What was going on right here? Because I remember attending the DNC, Democratic National Convention, taking you back to that summer. Remember the summer of 2016 and how she apparently didn't think she could win. Because, you know, if you are a winner, if you have the heart of a champion and you believe in yourself, you don't have to cheat. Cheaters believe that they're not good enough to win. So they want to hedge their bet, whatever. And so I guess she felt like she had to cheat, Hillary Rodham Clinton, that she couldn't win straight up. So we'll get into that report and go through what Durham classified and now is declassified. But what we didn't know, it's another case of bias by omission. I want to get into this story because we think about here in the Philadelphia region, specifically Montgomery County, but the collar counties, if you want to call them, and making headlines on the Philadelphia Inquirer, all of our local news stations, we saw a market. Remember the Gigante Market? And we saw people gathering, questioning ICE and making, you know, yelling obscenities even to some of the law enforcement who showed up and took into custody some of those individuals who are here illegally, even though the feds had basically given, according to the grocery store, remember the story? The grocery store manager spoke to the media and basically said the feds gave them a heads up, knew that they had people who did not have any proper visa, had not even bothered to even, until they showed up, until the feds showed up, had not even bothered to try to get work visas, etc. So they really knew, like, it was coming, it was gonna happen. And yet, there they were, these people that were here illegally amongst us. So the authorities came in and removed them. Where are those same individuals who show up here, who are the do-gooders and say, oh, why are we doing this? And then hurl really ugly language and insults at the law enforcement, who, by the way, don't have a choice. They're tasked with coming in and doing their job. And this is across the country. Well, it's interesting to me that what's not a lead story is a very bad hombre, if you will, who was in fact removed from hiding in New York. And this is according to ICE right here in Philadelphia. So this is a Honduran fugitive, a most wanted. He's a top 10 most wanted, considered dangerous, considered violence. And this is from ICE in Philadelphia. Thank you for your service. Thank you, officers. We appreciate you. The vast majority of us who should not be a silent majority, we appreciate you. And I want to explain to you why. And this is an incredible story that should, you would think this is, should be a lead story in our region and across the country. Huh? And I have to go searching for these stories. He's identified as Olvin Mauricio Martinez Cotto, a citizen of Honduras, most wanted, by the way, removed and deported. Thank you to the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement Officers Removal Operations, the ERO, right here in Philadelphia. Thank you for making us safer. And especially thank you for making our children, keeping our children safe, and women across our region. You know why? Because this guy is a most wanted man, not just here in the United States of America, but in his home country. You see, that's a piece of this that nobody reports. A lot of these individuals who are being deported, their home country wants them. You know why? Because there are people who are victims and survivors or not survivors, maybe the families of victims, who want justice. So this guy, Mr. Martinez Coto, is wanted in Honduras for aggravated femicide. This is a common theme that, again, we don't hear it in the mainstream media. What in the heck is aggravated femicide? So he intentionally murders women. You know why he intentionally murders them? Because they're women. Oh, my goodness. This is a violent, violent individual who fled his country because they wanted to put him through the justice system and punish him for his crimes. And so not only aggravated femicide, aggravated murder, these are the charges against this guy, also attempted murder and forcible home invasion. He faces up to 44 years behind bars in his home country, okay? And so the statement we have from our great Philadelphia ERO Philadelphia Acting Field Office Director, somebody you've heard me interview, Brian McShane. Mr. McShane, thank you so much to Brian McShane. And we have to stop being so silent, you know, about this story. I think whenever we hear about ICE showing up, I don't know, maybe we all need to show up and say, thank you, officers, for protecting and serving. Thank you, officers, because at that moment, we don't know what some of these individuals are accused of. But this guy, this is a person in his home country where they say, this guy is a killer. And this is the level of what he's accused of here. They say this guy violently broke into a home and brutally murdered a woman and tried to murder another woman who, you know, it's attempted murder. In other words, she lived. He had already been deported twice before over the years in both 2007 and 2019. But, you know, during the Biden administration, well, he came on back. And so he never entered legally, as well, was here illegally. They booted him twice. He came back. And so thank you to these officers involved in a joint operation. And yes, it was ERO Long Island Fugitive Operations, Homeland Security, FBI. The list goes on of all these different law enforcement agencies that had to be involved with this. And that's costly too. Right. We pay for that. We pay for all of this law enforcement to repeatedly deport individuals who during the Biden administration were allowed to just come on in and feeling welcomed. The quote here is, we will thank you. And thank you, Brian McShane. The quote here is, we will continue to seek out, arrest and deport international fugitives. Let's set the record straight. The United States is not a safe haven for criminal aliens. And so members of the public with information about fugitives or any suspicious activity, please, you are encouraged to call the ICE tip line 866-DHS-2ICE. So 866-347-2423. You can give a tip to their online sites, etc. But we thank you to our officers. I just wanted to highlight that and lead with that big story because nobody ever talks about that, this guy, this aggravated femicide. And what is up with that? I mean, you know, in some of these cases, you say, all right, if they're attacking a woman, they're assaulting a child or a woman, why do they then have to just beat them to a point that they are unrecognizable? You know, beating their faces in. We saw that with Lake and Riley. We see this. There's this bizarre thing, and they call it femicide, where they're attacking a woman, they're sexually assaulting her, but then taking her life in the most brutal, unimaginable way and making her suffer in pain. And that's the kind of criminals that are in our midst. And that, thank you to Philadelphia ICE. Thank you to all these brave officers that are getting these bad guys out of our country. And nobody, you know why it's not a lead story. So we have to talk about it. All right, really quick here. Andrew Torres in for our great Dan Borowski, who's on special assignment. We have Jimmy Kelly. Jimmy Kelly reminded us on our group text, today is an important anniversary, so we'll talk about it in the history of talk radio. So we will get to that as well. I want to highlight and just begin the conversation if we can. I'll get to Melania, don't you worry. But I, Andrew Torres, I want to get to the story that's the huge national story. It broke last night. And by the way, do you know that the New York Times, their lead, as of course they know it's a lead story, it's a huge story, when talking about this now declassified 29-page document that anybody can look at. And the New York Times headlines it, but then says that this is just another attempt to distract from the Epstein files. That's their headline. That this is this story, which is a legit story, and they know that, so they have to put it on their, you know, front of their, you know, internet page at least. So they have to tell you, well, it's just another distraction attempt. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm smart enough to look at the Epstein story. I see Virginia Giuffre's family speaking out about the Epstein situation. I think we're all capable of thinking about multiple news stories in the headlines at once. But they have to just put that up there as their snarky little story because they were among those who kept telling us Russia, Russia, Russia. And so the media, the especially the liberal-leaning media, pounded us over the head with that. Do you have a compilation by chance, Mr. Torres?
Yeah, we're still working on getting it.
Okay.
Yeah, but once we do, we'll let you know.
All right. So let's take a quick break. We will get to the story of a newly declassified document. This is a huge story, another huge scandal of what was omitted. And then the media ran with it. And now what's the media saying after pounding us over the head for years, telling us Russia, 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 telling us about how Russia skewed the election for Trump and that basically the election was stolen. And now when this declassified report comes out, you know what they say? It's just a distraction. Nothing to see here, folks. Well, I disagree. So we'll talk about it and get your thoughts as well. 855-839-1210. We'll talk about this important anniversary, and it involves the late, great Rush Limbaugh. So maybe we'll have Jimmy Kelly does an incredible Rush Limbaugh impersonation that is his tribute. And Jimmy Kelly always talks about how proud he was to work with the late, great Rush Limbaugh. So we'll get all of that for you. It's a real treat on this Friday, a dreary Friday morning, but it's going to be a beautiful weekend as we're now cooler in the low 80s, sunny skies. What are you doing this weekend as we begin August? Where is summer flying? Hey, Dawn Stensland here at Dawn Stensland, 855-839-1210. Be right back. Thank God.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
But it's Friday. TGIF. Man, did Greg Stocker make me mad when he said that about Melania Trump. There's so much fake news, and they really love to attack her, don't they? And so I love that the Daily Beast is the latest publication that has had to apologize to our gracious, beautiful First Lady. It's just so ugly. I always think to myself, could anybody possibly be consistent with regard to anybody who stands up for the fact that it's just really sexist to say that a First Lady is basically implying that she's some bimbo. It's just nasty. It's ugly. I also, since I was on the topic, before we get to the big story, which is this huge story, which is regarding Hillary Clinton and her alleged, I guess I have to say alleged, her alleged orchestration, lying, cheating, whatever, to try to muddy the waters. And really, to me, I think it's just a nasty swipe at President Trump. And isn't it amazing, you know, that they would say about Trump that he's somebody who's the liar. He's the one who's fraudulent. They actually are, through their actions, everything they've accused Trump of being. And you go back over the years, that's what really strikes me about it. Mar-a-Lago. Think about the raid on Mar-a-Lago, which we've never seen the raid of a former president like we saw on President Trump, his residence, searching his home, his child who was underage, Barron's room and closet, Melania's closet. It's just weird. But when you really go through it, it's basically that they were looking in a mirror. All of these people, these nasty, lying, cheating swamp monsters, every one of them. And so they were looking in a mirror and calling out everything they are and accusing Trump of being that. And every piece of tangible evidence that I see over the years, it's kind of crazy. And you go, nah, nope, they didn't prove that. In fact, they did that. Go through every scandal, every piece of this. And that's my takeaway from it as I look through it. By the way, as we look at the interim U.S. attorney in D.C., this is Judge Jeanine Pirro. She's the Trump appointee, right? Mandating immigration checks on all defendants. Just to wrap it up in a bow, talking about cooperation with ICE agents in Washington, D.C., because they were not, think about that. In our nation's capital, there was no coordination or cooperation with ICE. Another irony. And so this is the interim U.S. attorney, Jeanine Pirro. And she, she's been speaking out about this, but she has said that she's scrutinizing the immigration status of criminal defendants in D.C., which, of course, they were not looking at it. There was no coordination, and now they are. Just wanted to give you that heads up on that one as I round out. I'm looking at all the different stories of the day as we think about criminal aliens. And so this narrative that Democrats, as well as some media who are complicit, maybe some media, they're just not looking through the files or trying to find out the real story. But the narrative is that all of these people who are being rounded up and arrested and or deporting, all of them, these are innocent, hardworking people. They are mothers and fathers with children. And they're all just innocent, good folks who are being rounded up by ICE and they're being deported, and how wrong this is. And so just understand that what they're not seeming to report on is what I led with this morning, as you heard me, talking about a guy accused of murdering a woman, torturing the woman, taking her life. And the motive was he hates women. And then the attempted murder of another woman. So we know of at least two. And so his home country, thanking our country. They must all think we're nuts. We're basically harboring, you know, murderers, the worst of other countries, some of them third world countries. They must look to the United States of America in the last administration and think that is crazy. That is messed up. That's a beautiful country, America, and that yet they're Democrats. The previous administration was willing to harbor the worst of the worst, the most violent, vile people in third world countries, and denying justice for grieving families in those countries. Wow, that is messed up. And that's what's happening right here in the USA. All right, did you find that compilation by chance? Oh, that's all right. Let's get to the latest. Let's go to, do we have Tulsi Gabbard, that audio, and we don't have that? All right, I'll take you through the story. This is the New York Times. And this is what the New York Times, by the way, this is what they're reporting. So I'll give you their reporting on Durham and what they say. And this is a release by Tulsi Gabbard, again, an official release of information. And the actual 29-page report, they're calling it an annex, but it's a 29-page report that special counsel John Durham at the time had decided to hide from all of us, to classify it. And so now, thank you, under this administration, was actually Grassley who declassified it. And it's disclosed so that we can see it. And any one of you, any one of us, you don't have to be special. We as the American people who paid for all of this, right, paid for the Durham report, we get to see it now. And so it has a series of disclosures about the Russia inquiry. As here's the next line, the Trump team seeks to distract from the Jeffrey Epstein files. Well, not really, because the Trump team has gone every which way to try to get out information on Epstein. They've said, we're happy to release the files. They have they're under DOJ and all these different lawyers. They have made appeals to release every report that they can. The lower courts have refused to release those grand jury type reports. So this is the way the story goes. The Trump era special counsel, who scoured the Russia investigation for wrongdoing, gathered evidence that undermines a theory pushed by some Republicans that Hillary Clinton's campaign conspired to frame Donald J. Trump for colluding with Moscow in the 2016 election. And this is newly declassified information in this 29-page report. Again, you can look at it. So if you look at the first, I don't know, three, four paragraphs in the award-winning New York Times, you would infer that this is all BS and there's nothing to see here. And so it's information in this report to the special counsel's, it was a 2023 report, but it was taking you back to these emails and information and tangible evidence. And it says it reveals a foundational document for that theory was most likely stitched together by Russian spies. The document is a purported email from the summer of July 2016 that Mrs. Clinton had approved a campaign proposal to tie Trump to Russia to distract from the scandal over her use of a private email server. So what they're alleging is that these emails are not in fact from Hillary Clinton, but that they're fake emails. But then when you go through here, and again, you can look at this and tell me if I'm looking at the wrong thing, but I think it's within the first four pages, what they determined was, and it's in here, that the feds and the experts determined that there's no real way to confirm what is a real email, because remember the bleached, scrubbed server of you-know-who, HRC, Hillary Rodham Clinton. That's what I see here. And so the question is, well, were these her emails? Is there any other way to confirm it? And so basically what I infer from the whole thing, just to wrap it up, is that in fact, because her servers and everything that were, remember that were in a basement and they were bleached and they were scrubbed, because they couldn't verify it or they couldn't confirm it, they just decided, well, nothing to see here. It could be Russian disinformation. And so now they're releasing all of this so that you and I can look through it for ourselves. What you see in here is that there's a little cozy relationship between all of these people, between government officials, people like Hillary Rodham Clinton, Obama, who gets briefed, all of these different officials, cozy relationship, a lot of confidential conversations, that's what they're saying, between all of these different and some of them at the highest levels, as well as the then chairman of the Democratic National Committee, Debbie Wasserman Schultz. And then all these different individuals, the Open Society Foundations, all these people who had all this access to top level officials. That's what I see here. And these confidential conversations as they are talking through, talking about the media, talking about strategies. The allegation here is that Hillary Rodham Clinton herself was complicit in this. And so they basically say nothing to see here, put a big stamp on it and say, well, this is classified information because, you know, it could have been the Russians. Wow. But why not just release all the information at the time? I mean, why not release all the information and then make that explanation? If you're the one in charge of a big report, then why not go before a committee, release all of it, declassify it, and then say, well, you see these emails? These emails, which sure look like they come from Hillary Rodham Clinton herself, but since we can't verify it, it could be this, it could be that. How come they didn't have the conversation? I'm just asking for a friend. How come Durham didn't answer questions about it? How come? That, I mean, it's an honest question. If you're the one, you know, who's in charge of objectively investigating and trying to vet all of the information, why not? Huh? And so they just buried a lot of things that I find very interesting. Because to me, it looks authentic, doesn't it? And what about all these other people? Because, you know, you could argue that you could get all these other people together and get them under oath, and you could ask them if they had the conversation. You could look through the records because there are references to different meetings. So you could see, well, we have this date of such and such email. Let's try to cross-check it, right? And let's look now. Who was meeting where? We know who was in the White House. We know who was briefing Obama at this time. Who was in that meeting? So there is a way to cross-reference. So either you believe that this is just lazy, or you believe something else is going on here. I'm just saying. And then they also mention, so the memorandum states that Clinton approved a plan proposed by one of her foreign policy advisors. This is Julianne Smith, by the way, to, quote, smear Donald Trump by magnifying the scandal that was tied to the intrusion by the Russian special services. And this was pre-election to benefit the Republican candidate. And the translated draft memo stated in part, quote, according to data from the election campaign headquarters of Hillary Clinton, obtained via the U.S. Soros Foundation, on July 26, 2016, Clinton approved a plan of her policy advisor, that's Juliana Smith, who we mentioned, and this is to, quote, smear Donald Trump by magnifying the scandal tied to the intrusion by Russian special forces in the pre-election process to benefit the Republican candidate. And then it goes on that the theme of Putin's support for Trump to the level of the Olympics scandal. This is one of the main, what page is this? Page 7. That this is one of the major points when they say to the Olympics scandal would divert the constituents' attention from the investigation of Clinton's compromised electronic correspondence. It goes on to say by subsequently steering public opinion toward the notion that it needs to equate, quote, Putin's efforts to influence political processes in the U.S. via cyberspace to acts against a crucially important infrastructure. And so that would force the White House to use more confrontational scenarios vis-a-vis Moscow that as a whole suits Clinton's line of conduct. So it goes on here. My takeaway is more than just the fact that they omitted this, but that as well, you look at the cozy relationship between all of these different major players. And so to me personally, I'm glad that it's transparent. I think we all deserve to look at all of this, have the conversation. But as we talked about earlier, there, you know, if you want to go after somebody for doing this in a criminal manner or a civil matter, the laws, you know, there's a timing issue with what you can't, it's not legal anymore to go after these people. For me, do I think anything will come of this? No. Is there a valid argument to then say that we should not be allowed to see this as the American people? No. We need to have transparency. The truth matters. 855-839-1210. Beth Ann Rossica, our great PhD, Dr. Beth Ann Rossica, our education specialist, will talk about the state of education. School just weeks away, back to school report. We'll think about all of that in her latest piece. Be right.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
Right back. I can't believe it's August 1st already, summer flying by. Before you know it, we'll be back to school. And thinking about getting ready for school sports, I know a lot of sports teams are already gearing up for right around this time. You know, maybe it's the last week or so of vacation because a lot of the sports teams have been working out, and then that gets pretty intense in about a week or two or three. So we thought we would check in, since it's thinking about back to school time almost, with Dr. Beth Ann Rossica, PhD, Broad and Liberty, about your latest piece, thinking about Title IX in light of back to school. Hey, Beth, happy Friday.
Happy Friday, Dawn. Great to be on the show.
Absolutely. So I think last time we talked, you had alluded to the fact that you were working on this next upcoming piece. And, you know, just want to, on broadandliberty.com, want to go through it and get your take on the state of Title IX.
Sure. So what's most interesting right now is that last Friday, the federal government, the Office of Civil Rights through the U.S. Department of Education, issued a really big ruling. And I find it ironic that really none of the mainstream media in Pennsylvania is covering that, but that's, you know, typical, par for the course from what we typically see. So what this ruling said was that there were five school districts, large school districts in Virginia, that had policies that allow boys to use the girls' bathroom. Basically, the policies say that kids can use the bathroom of their choice based on their gender identity. And many of these school districts also allowed boys to compete in girls' sports. And there were parents who filed complaints with the Office of Civil Rights at the U.S. Department of Education. And they concluded that investigation. And last Friday, they issued their report that basically gives these districts 10 days to voluntarily agree to a proposed resolution that removes all of that language. The feds basically said that you are in violation of Title IX if you recognize gender identity as a protected class under Title IX, because it's in direct conflict with protecting sex-based protections. So, and this is a really, really big deal. And I wrote an article last week or the week before, where I looked at every single school district in southeastern Pennsylvania. So in all the collar counties, Chester, Montgomery, Bucks, Delaware, and Philadelphia, all 60 some odd school districts, I went through every single one of their policies, and 63% of school districts in southeastern Pennsylvania are currently in violation of Title IX based on their policies on this issue. So if Pennsylvania is looked at some point in the near future by the feds, all of these school districts are going to be found in violation. And I think this is a really, really big deal, and it should be a wake-up call to school districts locally and across the state to say, you're not in compliance and you could very well risk federal funding.
And so with this, and it's broadandliberty.com, Beth Ann Rossica, the feds declare bathroom policies illegal. And through Beth Ann Rossica's research, 63% of Philadelphia area schools could be next. And that's the question here, because depending on which school district it is, we've seen some who have said they're going to comply with everything. And then there are others that are, I think, they're bolstering for a battle.
Yes, I agree. I think that there are many local school districts that are doubling down. And it's not just the school districts. As I point out in the article, Pennsylvania as a state is in violation of Title IX. The Pennsylvania Human Relations Commission has regulations that includes gender identity as a protected class. And many school districts refer to those PHRC regulations as the reason why they have to allow gender identity as a protected class. So I really think that this is going to come down to a clash between Shapiro and the Trump administration. And they're going to double down. And Shapiro, even just recently last week, it was reported that he was silent on the issue as to whether or not he would sign the bill, Senate Bill 9, which is basically saying that, you know, boys can't play in girls' sports. Now, remember, I'll remind your listeners that years ago, Shapiro posted on then Twitter that, you know, trans women are women, pass it on. He has been very vocally supportive of transgender rights and allowing these kids to use the bathroom of their choice, to play in the sport of their choice. He's called the bill cruel, but now he's saying that he has not specifically read the bill and that it won't ever make it to his desk. And I talk about this in the article, that I think if you planned this perfectly, because the bill passed the Senate, which is, of course, Republican controlled, it's now in a House committee, and that House committee is majority Democratic. So that bill will never get out of committee. It'll never. And he knows that. So he knows that, you know, he can use his political maneuvering to stay silent. So by staying silent, he thinks that he's, you know, protecting his base, those, you know, from the transgender advocacy side. And his Democratic progressive side. But then he thinks that he might not aggravate more conservative people because he's not saying, no, you know, I absolutely won't veto this. But I think that he's now caught between a rock and a hard place. And ultimately, I think it's going to hurt him because he's not going to make anybody happy.
And you write, you know, Bucks, Chester, Delaware, Montgomery, and Philadelphia counties enacted, you know, all different specific transgender policy that grants students the access to the, quote, bathroom of their choice. We've heard that a lot. Beyond that, you go through all the numbers. Great. I mean, great job and a great article. But I think the one that strikes me, Beth Ann, is that you find that there is a number where they actually declare the trans or the transgender kids are in this special class of their own, and they've given them this special status. What is it, another 13 schools or 13 districts? So what does that mean? I mean, they've gone like above and beyond.
Well, yeah, so there are, the way that I describe this is that there are districts who are completely doubling down, and really in my mind it's just such virtue signaling. So actually 40% of local districts, like you said, like allow kids to use the bathroom of their choice. But it's even stronger than that, because they have an entire policy called transgender and gender expansive students. So districts, and my articles lay out which school districts have these policies and which don't. But I think this is a really strong statement that 40% of local districts have a policy specific for transgender kids. And it not only says that they can use the bathroom of their choice, it says that parents are excluded from this information, that the parents don't necessarily have a right to know if their child wants to be called by a different name, be referred to as a different gender. They go so far as to say that the district should take every opportunity to eliminate segregation based on sex. I mean, these are the words in this, that we should not have sex segregated activities. So, you know, that includes athletics. That includes the bathroom. That could include sex education or health class. I mean, it's gone so far. The pendulum has swung so far for such a small percentage of kids in schools that we have an entire policy to say that there really is no difference between men and women, and that, you know, we shouldn't segregate kids based on that. And I find that very, very troubling. And I think that it's much more so here in southeastern Pennsylvania. I actually just looked at Lancaster County's policies, and of their 16 school districts, only 4 had policies that allowed kids to use the bathroom of their choice. But none of them had like this hardcore transgender and gender expansive student policy. So this really is a phenomenon here in southeastern Pennsylvania. You see it splattered across the state, but really it's concentrated here in southeastern Pennsylvania.
It must be something in the water. since you talked about Beth Ann Rossica, since you talked about gym class and locker rooms and bathrooms, things like that, I just wanted your take on the announcement that has just come. What was that, yesterday? The announcement of something that, you know, up until the Obama administration, we did have this the fitness test. Every school had it. Every kid had it. And it was really promoting fitness for kids. And then over the years, I'll say, I don't even know when it happened, where they started lessening lunch breaks and recess. And even in some schools, they've gotten rid of the concept of recess. So just your thoughts on reinstating that.
Well, I think that it's really important, particularly today in our, you know, hyper social media internet age, that all of these kids, I see it with my own kids, how much time they spend on devices, that these kids need physical activity. They need exercise. I laughingly remember, you know, I'm old enough that, you know, I did this a long time ago, but I remember the presidential physical fitness test. And I remember, you know, because I was not a particularly fit child, but, you know, I had to do the push-ups and the sit-ups and I had to work at it. And I think that every child should be challenged physically, and kids need recess time. They need to be outside. They need to be running around. And we've just done so much to close their world. You know, some people think that being on the internet expands their world, but I really think that it closes their world, because there's so much that you learn on the playground. You learn how to deal with conflict resolution. You learn how to, you know, figure things out and disagree. And, you know, I want this piece of equipment. You want that piece of equipment. There's so much that's learned on the playground that, you know, doesn't always need to be mediated by adults. Kids need to learn how to mediate that stuff, but on their own. But in terms of the fitness tests, kids need physical activity. Yeah. And they need to be healthy. And, you know, we don't need to make fun of children who are overweight. They don't deserve to be bullied or any of those kinds of things. And at the same time, we need to encourage people to be healthy and develop good lifelong habits.
So true. Beth Ann Rossica, broadandliberty.com. Check out her latest piece and latest investigation. Great research. Thank you, Beth Ann. Thank you so much, as always.
Thanks, Dawn. Have a great weekend.
Oh,
take care. Bye-bye.
You too. Happy Friday. So, well, if you have any thoughts on any of those topics, I just thought it was relevant because I remember, you know, the question I had for President Trump when he was on the campaign trail was specifically about protecting girls and women's rights when it comes to bathrooms, lockers, Title IX here in Pennsylvania. And remember what he said on day one, you know, that he promised he would do everything in his power, the executive orders that he signed, and protecting girls and women. As you know, Paula Scanlon was there, Riley Gaines, and so many were there from across the country, and it was just a great moment. I just want to give you the heads up that this battle is just beginning here in Pennsylvania, even though a lot of people think, oh, that's over with, and they're going to, you know, it's all back to normal. Nope. As you just heard Beth Ann Rossica say, she's done her research and the due diligence, and this is going to happen. It's going to be a battle. And we'll see court battles, and we'll see people picketing and saying, oh, they're trying to ban a certain group of people or bully a certain people. That's not what this is about. It's protecting the rights of women and girls and privacy rights. That's what it's about. And so we have to be ready for this. It's coming. So there you have it. And she gives you the tangible numbers on everything. So we'll get to it all. 855-839-1210. It's Friday. At Dawn Stensland on X. We're on the YouTube chat. For those of you there, still thank you for being here today on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. All right, I got to talk about my guys, my friends from Marvin E. Cans Heating and Air Conditioning. We had that Mitsubishi Electric Heating and Air Conditioning Mini Split. It was installed by Marvin E. Cans. Great job. And specifically for our lower level where we have the studio, the office. And so you think about studio equipment, especially camera equipment, audio, visual equipment, all of that equipment. It's really important that you have that constant temperature and not too much humidity, because you know how funky the equipment, it gets finicky. So here's the thing. Thanks to this mini split unit by Mitsubishi Electric Heating and Air Conditioning, man, it's just, you go down there, it just smells good. You know, before it was like a little mist, little mildewy kind of a smell, especially during weather like this where we had all the rainfall. Nope, that's not for us. It just smells good. And the temperature, a constant, about 71, 72 degrees. It just looks good. It feels good. It has been a total game changer. So specifically, it's for these areas, hard to reach areas, maybe that don't have the proper duct work. That's what this is all about. And Marvin E. Cans, and you got to visit them, Marvin E. Cans, KANZ.com. Marvin E. Cans, my guys, they're always going to go the extra mile for you. Tell them Dawn sent you.
Dawn Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.